It's called polypharmacy. That's when you're taking too many medications and those medications start competing with one another to the detriment of your health. It's a problem. Let's say you go to the doctor, complain about an ache or a pain, indigestion, or a reaction to a drug you're already taking, and then the doctor issues a new prescription. Now, not to point the finger at the doctor, because a lot of patients don't reveal the extent of the medications they're taking. They almost never talk about the vitamins they're taking, or their marijuana use, either for pain or recreational reasons, or illegal drugs. And it doesn't stop there. Did you know people share drugs? As in, I'm taking this and it works for me. Here, try one. Doctors don't hear those stories. There are a host of reasons why people don't have frank conversations with their primary health care provider. Embarrassment, fear of losing face, a lack of understanding about drug interactions, and a worry about challenging the authority of their doctor. Well, I hate to add this in, but I have to in this case. That is, add in the experiences Indigenous peoples have with the Canadian medical system. A system that many say does not represent them or respect their perspectives on health, wellness, and prevention. For this episode, we invited two members of the team at the First Nations Health Authority, pharmacist Cindy Preston and nurse Gina Gaspar, to join us for a conversation that matters about the Coyote medicine story and how it can help all of us address an important healthcare issue. I'd also like to acknowledge that this program was recorded on the traditional territories of the Squamish, Musqueam, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations.
Conversations That Matter is a partner program for the Center for Dialogue at Simon Fraser University. The production of this program is made possible thanks to the support of the following and viewers like you.
Today we're talking about polypharmacy, which is an issue that affects all of us. And of course, we're talking about it in relationship to the impact that it has in Indigenous communities, not only in British Columbia, but of course everywhere. But there is an initiative that you're working on through First Nations Health Authority, and I know that also through BCPHA, like you're all interconnected, and this is an issue that we pay attention to. Let's start with, what is polypharmacy?
Well, polypharmacy really is about the medications you're taking, and taking more than our multiple medications and taking more than are what are clinically required.
Mm-hmm.
And so where this runs into a problem is the more medications you have, there's more chance of side effects or adverse drug reactions. And sometimes the drugs add on in their side effects and in their actions and the problems that they
can
cause.
Like there's an exponential response.
Yeah, it might be additive or it might be exponential. But we just want to make sure that people have, and physicians and pharmacists and nurses and patients have that conversation about the medications that are being prescribed or dispensed or consumed, and making sure they're safe and appropriate and they're doing what they need to do and not causing people harm.
So how do we get to a point where somebody is all of a sudden now taking 20 different medications and their caregiver isn't even aware of what that, array of medications is?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. One is when a person is on a medication, often a symptom can happen or a side effect, and so they're prescribed another medication for the side effect of the first medication, as opposed to being taken off that medication and trying a different one that has a different side effect profile. Another reason is physicians and nurses work with guidelines, clinical guidelines. And so if you have this disease, you have guidelines for that disease. But if you also have another disease, you have guidelines for that disease. So all those guidelines recommend medications. So if we're not looking at the whole person and just providing guideline care, we're going to end up providing a lot of medications to the person.
Well, and I also know that as we age, of course, there's more things that go wrong with us. I was reading or doing a bit of work with Dr. Ken Rockwood, who has developed, the geriatric assessment tool and the frailty scale. And he says, every 15 years, the number of things that's wrong with you kind of doubles. Well, you start to get up in around 60 years of age and older, well, you start taking more medications. And as he pointed out, you start to have those drug interactions and your body then relies on them. So undoing that can become a challenging process as well.
I think, Stu, also we have a situation where a lot of us in society rely so heavily on our prescribers that we don't question it ourselves.
That's in the general public. But when we take a look at indigenous communities, there's another cultural component that comes into that. How do we describe what that is?
With colonization in the history of Canada and the way First Nations have interacted with healthcare, it isn't always the experience that you and I would enjoy. That experience and the stigma and racism that exists within the system negatively impacts this conversation. We really talk about client empowerment or patient empowerment and being able to ask questions and feeling free to do that, asking your doctor, asking your pharmacist, asking your nurse. But you can't, when you're told what to do and that's how you have to accept how you're going to receive things, you don't challenge or you don't question what you're being told. And so to have that voice and find that strength to question or speak or self-advocate, it can be very challenging. And without having the healthcare professional able to talk with you and pull that from you and encourage that type of conversation, we never actually address the issue of what is this medication for and do I still need it?
I even have that issue, I go to the doctor and she says to me, well, I think that you should take this, whatever it is. And I go, no. And the look from her is like, what do you mean, no? Like, you're challenging my authority? You're challenging my wisdom? No, I'm not, but I'm just telling you that it's not something that I plan on taking because I don't think that it's something that's going to be long-term beneficial to me. Despite the fact that you have the medical degree and everything like that. So it is a difficult situation. I'm an older guy with enough kind of oomph now at this point in my life to say, no, I can't imagine, you're younger or you're in some kind of, and as you pointed out, Indigenous communities have been at the very unfortunate receiving end of colonization and racism. How then do you help those people say, okay, how do I now start to take control of my own well-being? Because that's really what it comes down to, isn't it? It's about empowering individuals.
Well, really, there's two ways. One, we work with healthcare professionals in making sure that they are aware that they can have this conversation another way and how they can have this conversation with Indigenous patients and have it actually resonate with them so that they're actually speaking a common language versus trying to use conflicting worldviews to discuss an issue like polypharmacy. The other issue is within the community itself and having the community having the opportunity to have that conversation about what polypharmacy is to them and what does it look like.
So we decided we needed a tool to help us have those conversations.
Yeah. Well, are you even using the term polypharmacy?
Yeah, exactly.
So what is that tool?
So the tool is called a coyote food medicine story.
Right.
So the coyote story is a traditional way.
That's this book here, isn't it?
There you go.
Yeah. It's quite a good little book. Yeah.
The whole concept of a coyote story is an Indigenous traditional way of providing information to people in a fun way. In the Western way, when I want to give you information or I want to teach something to somebody, it's very didactic. Mm-hmm. I tell you, this is what you need to know and learn it and be off with you.
Well, and we think that that's effective. It not necessarily is.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot we can learn that we have yet to learn from Indigenous people because storytelling is a wonderful way to learn. It's fun and playful, but it's also layers and layers of knowledge. So a person could listen to a coyote story and get what they need to get from it and then come back to that story later and hear it again and actually learn different things from it because of the multiple layers in the story. Depending on where the nation is in the province, the coyote is a trickster or transformative character, but it may or may not be a coyote. It could be a raven, could be any animal that nation sees as the trickster or the transformative character.
Oh, okay. So the story has the ability to be flexible in its presentation depending on what the common storytelling characters are within that community.
Right. And so these are very old stories. And the coyote story or the trickster story.
So what is the essence of that story?
Well, the coyote being the trickster, he really wants to really, take advantage of everyone else's food. the other animals in the forest and steal what they or use what they have to have the skill or to gain the advantages that they have, whether it be frog strong legs to jump like the frog or mm-hmm. sharp eyes like the eagle. By eating their food, maybe he can obtain those characteristics, and him and his family will be that much stronger and advance because of that. The end of the day, he finds out that wasn't the best way to go, and he faces reality with the cougar on top of him, and really has to face, you know, and hear the hard truth that he really needs to pay attention to the ancestral and traditional teachings of his ancestors.
Okay, so one of the interesting things that I found in reading the story was, it was, okay, frog, tell me what it is that you eat to give your legs the ability to jump. And I can, and so you go, okay, good, I'll take that drug because it will help me with this way. But he didn't hang around long enough to understand the context under which the frog consumes that, why it's important to the frog, and yet may not be important to the coyote. And just having that ability to jump wasn't going to make him immune to everything else. And so it, there I would go, okay, I can see the part where you start to go, okay, I need to not only know what it is that you take, but why you take it, under what circumstances, what were the benefits, what are the other things that I need to know. And there's, in that, I found the incredible amount of wisdom, but in very easy to understand in simple storytelling.
But you've also really nicely displayed how you were able to take that story to a different level mm-hmm. that maybe somebody else wouldn't take it to.
Yeah, but you pointed out that you can come back to the story the second time and mm-hmm. discover something new in it.
Yeah, and deeper.
And maybe that is the beauty of the story. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about sometimes when I've been in Indigenous communities and I'm listening to storytelling, and it happens much in a much different environment than what we're doing right now. There is the opportunity to think about, you know, what is the coyote? And maybe the storyteller tells you a little bit more about who the coyote is and expands on the personality of that coyote and what it is that they're hoping to achieve. And so you get taken to a place that you have time to contemplate. Whereas, as you say, if we just share information in a didactic way, well, you don't have the opportunity to say, okay, well, what exactly does this mean to me? So what's the response been?
We took 6,000 books to the elders gathering in Cowichan in July last year, and it was amazing. People were constantly at us looking for more books, right?
Yeah, and it was one of the elders took me aside and says, you came to our community and you did your little presentation on polypharmacy, and so now I know what you're talking about.
Because I did your polypharmacy thing. My eyes glazed over.
yeah. And for me, I'm like, that was the most amazing moment where it's like, wow, as a healthcare professional, I'm speaking my language, mm-hmm. but I'm not connecting. Right. And I can't help, or I'm not empowering people and individuals to really be able to ask those questions. I'm using my lingo, and yeah. they can pick up on that. But the coyote story is a way more powerful way of having that conversation and letting people continue that conversation and building on the coyote story.
Well, in the video that you produced, there is one of the elders goes, you know, the coyote's food medicine story helps us, like, to keep up with, you know, the white man, or and they laugh and giggle. But this is fundamental, I think, in being able to say, okay, what are the tools that are going to empower me to feel like I can now start to ask the questions? One story does not change the world, does not change the way people understand and react. What else do we need to do collectively to help everybody be able to address these issues? Where do we go from here?
If we don't do something about polypharmacy, what does that mean? And we know, as Cindy had said, that with every medication there's increased interactions, but we also know that people who are on multiple medications fall more, mm-hmm. They use the hospital more, they use the emergency department more, and they also stop taking their medications mm-hmm. more. So people who are on a lot of medications have a tendency to say, I've had enough. And instead of just taking a few, or maybe taking the ones they really, really need, they just don't take any of them.
Mm-hmm.
So for lots of different reasons, people get very sick if they're not on the most appropriate medications. Don't get us wrong, we're not against medications.
Mm-hmm.
We're all for the right medication at the right time at the right dose
mm-hmm.
that matches that person's values and wishes with what's important to them. And if we continue on what we're doing right now, what we know is that it costs our healthcare system a lot of money. So it's not just the cost to the individual and the cost to their quality of life, but it's also under a few billion dollars in healthcare costs in Canada per year because we spend so much money on medications, just the medications that are not appropriate.
Just on the ones that are not appropriate.
Right. And all the healthcare issues, the hospitalizations and the services that are required because of those medications that weren't appropriate.
So the Coyotes Food Medicine story is designed to help empower Indigenous communities, Indigenous individuals. That is going to have to be an ongoing effort and initiative by First Nations Health Authority and the Doctors of BC
yes.
and various other branches of healthcare in British Columbia. But the other side of the equation, of course, is that that message also has to be going back out to healthcare providers, that they need to be attuned to this and create that environment that allows for and encourages that dialogue that says, here's where I'm at.
And that's the piece I think that's really important around what is the individual's goals of care.
Mm-hmm.
So the guidelines tell us if you have this disease, this is what these are the medications you should have. But we also need to ask what's important to the individual to match the right medications, the right dose, at the right time to that person because what's important to them. And I think that's what you were trying to say when you were talking to your doctor.
Right.
Is that that's not important to me.
Yes.
And if we don't get back to what's important to the individual, then we're not going to be prescribing and managing our healthcare system in a way that reflects what we call goal concordant care, care that is what the person wants.
Well, okay, so that brings up an interesting point. It brings us to this holistic view of the individual that can say, well, here are a suite or an array of different healthcare options that are available to me. Because when you listen to the video, you know, they talk about, well, you know, we would go out to the earth and we would get roots and we would get plants and we would get a variety of different elements from Mother Earth, and we would make up remedies that had been passed down through the years. We can't say, okay, abandon that, because that is does not fit in necessarily with the individual's goals. Is in all of this sense that we have to now also look at what Dr. Heather Boone, who is the Dean of Pharmacy at University of Toronto, says, is what is that interaction between the prescription medications that we're supplying and other complementary and alternative forms of therapy? Because we still need to figure that out, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yep. The medicines, like chemicals that we ingest, are going to interact. And so that will be one area that could potentially be problematic. When we talk about the coyote story with community, we often talk about making sure you have the list of the medications so that so you can take it and have that conversation with your pharmacist and your physician.
Mm-hmm.
All the medications you're taking, whether they be the over-the-counter ones that you can go purchase, ones that are prescribed to you, or traditional medicines. I don't necessarily see the traditional medicines getting scrutinized at the academic level and trying to force it into the Western medicine-like model and understanding and so forth. But there's definitely needs to be room for those conversations to happen because there are potentially some interactions and some side effects that could happen when those medications are mixed.
Well, yeah, but I think that it comes back to the point of what are the health goals of the individual. Do I, you know, want to subscribe to the ways of my elders and my culture, and do I need to let you know that as my healthcare provider in an allopathic model that, you know, I also consume, you know, this mushroom and that root and so on because it's been passed down by my elders. I think that there has to be space for that conversation to exist as well.
Yeah, it has to be a safe conversation where mm-hmm. where the patients are okay and safe to say the things that they're taking, right?
Yeah.
And not felt that they're not doing what they need to because they are using traditional medicines. So that safe space and that humility around the traditional medicines is very important with our healthcare professionals. And even in that conversation and encouraging our community members to really try to be brave and have that conversation with your healthcare professionals too,
mm-hmm.
and let them learn that they need to understand what you are taking.
Yeah, this is really, everybody is involved in this. We have to create the space. We have to be open to it. We have to say, you require different things to have the right frame of mind to ensure that you have the best possible health outcomes.
I'm aware we've got a pharmacist and a nurse here, but we don't have a prescriber here.
Right.
And I'm thinking if Dr. White were sitting here as well, I'm hearing his voice in my head as we're having this conversation. And when we would go to communities and the three of us would talk to community members, something that he would often say is, it's okay to give, when you sit down with a physician and tell them what's wrong with you, it's okay to start off with the conversation with, I don't want any medication, but I want to tell you what's going on with me. So that by starting off with that, then it gives the physician permission not to feel like they have to prescribe something, because they also feel pressure by society to do something when mm-hmm. somebody comes to them and says they have a problem.
Well, that's why you go to the doctor, isn't it? I got a problem, I want you to fix it.
So it's, I think the accountability is on both sides, that this is such a complicated problem, and it's not that a prescriber is going to fix it, or a pharmacist is going to fix it, or a nurse is going to fix it. But we all need to work together as a team
right.
with the client to make sure that we're understanding what's really important to that person and how do we provide the care that reflects their wishes.
Well, and to bring it sort of back to the whole Coyotes Food Medicine storybook is to also empower people in Indigenous communities to say, you are allowed to speak up. You're allowed to ask questions. You're allowed to say, this is what I want.
Exactly.
Well, and it's going to be a journey, it's going to be a process, but I think that this is a powerful start, and the more people start to understand this, the more the word gets out. It's good. Thank you very much for coming in and
Thank
sharing
you.
This. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.